Welcome to Decades From Home, a podcast about Germany. I'm Nick Houghton of 40%German.com, and I'm joined by intrepid co-host Kat and our award-winning producer Simon Josie to discuss the weird and wonderful side of living in Germany. Hey Kat, hey Simon.
Hey Nick.
Hey Nick, how you doing?
I'm all right, yeah. I guess we're keeping the award-winning producer Simon bit in the introduction. I'm not against it.
Until one of us wins an award, it stays.
Yeah, well, roll on the Christmas episode, eh? when we give ourselves some awards. I want to kick things off with a listener response. A good friend of mine, as all the listeners are good friends of mine, but this was a particularly good friend of mine, sent me a message this morning in a response to the Class Ohm segment that we did last week about this rather violent traditional festival that seemed to involve groups of men grabbing random women off the street and beating them on the arse with a horn or a trumpet or something. And it all looked rather horrendous, and there was a lot of discussion based around a documentary that was shown last week. And this listener sent me a message with a video from Bayerischer Rundfunk of an event that is, unsurprisingly given it's on Bayerischer Rundfunk, is in Bayern, where women dress up as witches and they spend the evening, or at least a couple of hours in the evening, parading through the streets and hitting young men with what looks like switches, so like a bundle of sticks. And the question asked, in all fairness, was how is this any different from what happened in Class Home? Now, we've all watched the video now, and I'm wondering, what's your thoughts on it, guys?
Yeah, neither of them are good.
Interesting, okay.
I think they're both just as bad as each other.
Do you think the young men were throwing themselves at the sticks? I just wondered if it was a completely different vibe.
I mean, it felt like a different vibe. It felt like everyone was having a good time. I didn't get that image from the Class Home video, which seemed to be, and given that the organizers distanced themselves from the discussion or distanced themselves from what was happening, it felt like there was a sense that this was not quite okay. Whereas, again, it's a video from Bayerischer Rundfunk's Instagram. It's full streets with lots of people kind of watching. It doesn't look like it's kind of random acts being perpetrated and filmed with hidden cameras. So there is a different vibe to it for sure. Well, why do you think it's the same, Kat?
Because it's a really dodgy thing that somehow has now come to surface. It's like, why weren't people talking about this kind of stuff before? In my mind, this stuff shouldn't have been stopped like a long time ago.
Interesting. Yeah, okay. I mean, I guess it's such a big part of fashion tradition as well, the kind of witchy element.
Yeah, like I say, I live in the Hartstück of carnival here, and there is definitely a violent tinge to it in the fact that all rules are off, and what happens at carnival stays at carnival. And I think anything that has that kind of vibe is creepy, and I stay away from it.
In principle, they're both sort of violent acts, and so they both get like a cross rather than a tick. But having watched that video that you forwarded, Nick, like I say, it was just a completely different vibe. And somehow that had an impact on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's the atmosphere around it, certainly. But yeah, I think Kat's got a point, you know. Random acts of violence are still random acts of violence.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, moving on. We're going to get a bit more festive. I mean, it's kind of our theme for December is parading around Christmas markets. And I don't know about anyone else, but after 2 weeks of Advent, I'm still not done with Christmas markets. I fucking love them. And I think it would take some Scrooge levels of humbug to be a downer on them. But I do know a few people who've already voiced annoyance at this year's offerings. Namely, I think mostly it's the price. If either of you been glühwein gouged recently, have you noticed a price increase?
I have not been to a Christmas market this year. And every time I kind of ask people what the prices were, and then I just smile and laugh.
And then walk away.
Yeah.
Well, I actually went to my first Christmas market last Sunday night, and I had, okay, don't judge me, currywurst and pommes to eat. And that was about €8.50, which sounded like about the same as it was 12 months ago when I last had currywurst and pommes at a Christmas market. And then someone bought me a hot chocolate because I was driving. So I can't really say about the price of Glühwein. And I don't know what the price of that was. So yeah, if things are expensive, I didn't really notice.
How many Christmas markets have you been to, Nick? I mean, how many times have you been?
I mean, I've been to a fair few. Not every day. I know people who are going daily to various Christmas markets.
Really?
Especially the people I know who live in Munich. They have so many options. Like almost every other street has a Christmas market in it of some description. And so there's a lot to go to. I was at a Christmas market yesterday. But I was just walking around. I didn't partake in anything, but I just wandered around and enjoyed the vibe. And I was at a Christmas market at the weekend. I was at a Christmas market last week, twice. So quite a lot, actually. Probably too much.
What's the most you've paid?
Most I've paid? For Glühwein, I think the most I've paid is about, it was like €7 or something.
It including the fund?
Yeah, it was. Of course, yeah, it was including the fund. But the fund was only something like sort of €1.50 or something like that. And I've paid roughly sort of €6 for a Würstensemmel, usually. Depends how big the Würst is, I guess. But it's kind of about that range, which feels a little pricier than usual. The €20 I took with me disappeared very, very rapidly. So I think that's an indicator.
Did you go on any dodgy rides?
No, I didn't. I was tempted by the carousel, but I didn't in the end. I've not partaken in any of that. There's most of them are sort of for kids, aren't there? I haven't seen anywhere that has full-on fairground rides.
I think that's what Cat's point was, actually.
Oh, what, do you think I'm going to get on the carousel? Well, if I would, I'm going to be riding SpongeBob SquarePants. That's all I know, because that was clearly the best option on the carousel that I saw at the weekend. That's a very odd carousel that has SpongeBob SquarePants and a fire engine and a helicopter.
The traditional German SpongeBob SquarePants, I take it.
Is there any other kind? What I'd really want to do is ride something that has a bell, but most of those are tiny little seats that I wouldn't fit into. So I just have to live vicariously through my children who can enjoy these things. One thing I like about this time of year is going, obviously, to all these different types of markets. There was a folding table with an urn of Lidl's own Glühwein at the university. And then there was the fanciest Fancy Dan Mittelaltersmarkt in Munich. There is a lot of different options to choose from. This is also true for cups, which are supplied to the markets. Each city has a different type, usually with a nice festive logo and the year stamped on them. And sometimes, on very special occasions, you might get something really exceptional to drink your festive libations from. And this was actually the plan in Frankfurt, till disaster struck. Frankfurt's market is celebrating its 100th birthday with a range of different events. But initially, the plan was to supply the market in the city with 50,000 new commemorative Glühwein cups. However, with only an hour and a half to go before the market opened, it was discovered the cups weren't heat resistant, they shattered in the dishwashing machines, and seemed to leak when filled, which is not optimal, shall we say. How many Glühwein cups do you have at home, out of interest? Does the fan put you off from stealing them?
I just have one cup, and as far as I understood, the fund is included in the price. So it's not bad if you take it. I know many people with collections.
It's not stealing, Nick.
It's not stealing if you've paid the fund. Is that the thought?
Yeah.
It's the principle as well.
Do you genuinely believe a Glühwein cup is €2?
What's the fund for?
The fund is a big enough amount to odds on hope that you won't steal the mugs. I think that's how it works. I don't think that's the price of the actual mug, or the retail price at least.
Okay, then they don't have cups for sale at the Christmas market, at least openly on their own. So there's no, in your eyes, legitimate way to get hold of a Christmas market cup and take it home?
Well, I mean, unless you buy it. I mean, this is it, right? If you rent a car, and then you keep the car, is that okay? Is that fine? Can I do that?
But I don't think they're renting the cup to you, because really at €2 or €3, considering what the cost of production is, I reckon they're expecting you to walk away with it.
They're expecting you to walk away with it.
Yeah, because they're so pretty.
They are pretty, aren't they? I've got one in my house. It's from the Hafen Market, the Harbour Market here in Cologne. I used to have another one, but I ended up getting rid of it. It looked really cool, but it had so many knobbly bits in it that it was really annoying to clean. So I got rid of it. And then I've been to some Christmas markets where they just have those Arkarok cups. It feels so depressing to drink blue wine from Arkarok cup. You know the ones I mean, right?
I remember Arkarok. Do you remember the scandal in New Zealand which said that if you put them in the microwave oven, they would explode? Do you remember that?
Yeah, was that true or not? I can't remember.
I don't know if it was true, but it was such a scandal for so many years.
Yeah, don't put the Arkarok in the microwave. But yeah, the whole vibe of drinking a glue wine is just like, ugh, when you're drinking it out of an Arkarok mug.
What is an Arkarok mug?
It's glass, like, and it's kind of see-through, but it's brown colored. And it's normally you have like a cup of tea in it or something. It's really like a teacup.
Well, I do feel like it's theft. Like, it's still theft even if you paid the fine. I mean, that may be a fundamentalist interpretation of what the fund is, but I feel like the whole point of the fund is to put you off from stealing it so you can get your €2 back. But anyway, luckily for Frankfurt, the replacements were eventually found by a supplier, although they're not as fancy as initially planned. This is probably a good thing. It's fewer cups getting twocked or, not stolen. What was it, borrowed? Is that what you're doing? Are you borrowing these glue vine mugs, Simon? Is that the... No, he's shaking his head. He's keeping.
You've just made the most of the occasion. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. That sounds so positive.
I dare you, next time you're at a Christmas market, to ask the person that you buy the glue wine off, can I keep the cup?
I'll do it in my best Hugh Grant Britishness. Excuse me. I'm terribly sorry to disturb you. I was just wondering, this delightful mug, would it be possible to take it home with me? There you go. I bet I get a positive response. We will see.
Nick, yes. I have to ask a question. I've done this before on the podcast.
Oh, God, I don't like these questions.
Is twocked a real word?
Twocked is a real word, my friend. It's another example of fantastic Geordie.
I don't remember that from the spelling bee.
It's not in the spelling bee because it's not necessarily in the dictionary. I believe the spelling's correct.
Even if it's not a real word, the spelling is still correct.
Well, okay. I know, and this is Simon's policy on pretty much anything, is Googling is not good podcast content. And usually he's right, but I feel like I need to get some kind of, look at that. Oxford English Dictionary. Yes. Twocked is in there. Entomology. Oh, no, it wants me to subscribe. You're right, Simon. This isn't as good as it could be. But the word twocked is definitely in there. And
okay, well, I just feel I'm doing a service for our listeners who perhaps English is not their first language.
Here we go. Twock, English, origin. It's a verb. Twock, third person singular, simple present. Twocks, present participle, twocking. Simple past and past participle, twocked. And there's an alternative spelling, which is T-W-O-C.
And what does it mean?
What's the etymology of it? Where's it come from?
There's a couple in here. It's onomatopoeic, and it's the sharp, quick sound of one hard thing hitting another hard thing, especially in sports. So that could be a twock. And we've got, that's its usage, but I would say it's stealing something.
Oh, like a volleyball.
Yeah, I mean, but I would say twocked is Geordie as it comes.
Hold on. So are you saying your dictionary has not given the same meaning that you gave us 5 minutes ago?
Before you get all excited, it's just the Wiktionary. It's not an official bit of language use. We've got the Beginner's Guide to Geordie from the Newcastle University. That might have something in it that would be useful. It doesn't have the word twocked in it. So anyway, enough of this Googling. It's not helping anyone. It's certainly not helping me.
Talking about language, though, should I change the subject for you, Nick?
No, I was going to change the subject myself, but we can talk about language. It is it is exactly this. Please do change the subject for me.
Yeah, I watched the Voice of Germany final on the weekend. Big disappointment. The best singers did not win. Everyone had a sour taste in their mouth at the end of the evening. But I did find my new least favorite English word. which the female presenter used all the way through the whole evening. And it was really ridiculous. Can you guess what it might be?
I have no idea.
Performing.
Oh, God. That does get my hackles up. Performing.
Yeah. Got a little angry about that one. Still thinking about it, as you see.
Yeah. I'm going to be thinking about it for the next week now. Ugh. Yeah. It's good that you brought up some language, because this is this next segment is very much about language, and rather the name of a particular beverage at the Christmas markets in Germany. And this one is discussing, again, Frankfurt's Christmas market. Now, I'm not one for facts of the day. I feel uncomfortable packing information into bite-sized morsels. I mean, we're podcasters, after all. If it's not a 10-minute segment, what's the damn point? Anyway, I see how the world is going. I know the algorithm demands tribute, so here goes nothing. Does anyone fancy a Weihnachtsmarkt fact of the day?
Yes, please.
Did you know that Patrice Lumumba was the first democratically elected prime minister of the Democratic Republic of Congo? In his non-violent struggle, he managed to lead Congo to independence on June 30th, 1960, and free the country from Belgian rule. In the same year, he was deposed as prime minister by a US and Belgian-backed coup, and he was subsequently murdered by firing squad in Katanga in 1961 by Belgian officers. There's your fact of the day about Weihnachtsmarkt.
Oh, what's that got to do with Christmas markets, Nick?
It's a good question, actually, and one I've pondered myself the other week as I read the menu for a Glühwein stand. And there was all the things you'd expect to find. And then there was something called a Lumumba, clearly named after the gentleman I just mentioned. Can anyone guess what constitutes a Lumumba?
A shot of racism.
A shot of racism, potentially. I mean, it's obvious, really. A Lumumba is a hot chocolate and a shot of rum. And why is it named after a politician from the DRC? Well, it seems it's meant as something of a joke, though one clearly from the 1960s, as the drink is a hot chocolate with a shot, which is allegedly, according to some, making fun of the death of Lumumba. I say allegedly, as there's another possible origin as a show of solidarity among socialists in Germany. And why is this news? Of course, listeners may be asking. Well, there's been calls in Germany to find an alternative name for the drink, with some claiming it's racist. And in some areas, the drink itself has been taken off the menu, while in others, namely Augsburg, it's still on sale. It's not on sale in Kiel Christmas market, and it's been renamed there the Kielumba. But there's not an actual ban particularly. There's just this renaming they've chosen. In Nuremberg, they don't sell anything like it, so they don't have to worry about it. And in fact, the head of the Nuremberg market, Marco van Dobschutz-Dietl, said that they only sell mulled wine. It's not a problem for them. But it is sold in various other places and across Europe with the same name. So what do you think? Should we get rid of the name or keep it?
I don't think we get to decide. Between the three of us.
I don't know. I mean, I'm the curious thing is, on one side, there's people who are saying, oh, it's racist and we should get rid of it. On the other side, people are going, no, it's a sign of solidarity with the socialists. So I don't really know. I know my instinct would be to get rid of it, but.
Does it, I mean, context is everything here. I mean, if it came from the DRC community, I could imagine a scenario where it's completely acceptable. If it's a bunch of racist whites, Europeans who've come up with the name, well, then, yeah, it's not acceptable. So I think context is quite important here, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, it does seem like, it's like there's so many things that exist or have had some kind of racist name given to them because they happen to be chocolate. One of my famous examples is those places that still sell chocolate ice cream, and it's just called Barack Obama, which is a fucking depressing concept in itself. So it's not something, and again, I think that's what perhaps you were alluding to, Kat, the fact that there is a tendency in Germany to have a product that has chocolate in it and for someone to give it a name of a famous black person. So yeah, I mean, on that bent, at least it does seem rather racist.
Hmm. I agree.
But you're right, Kat, probably three white people shouldn't be deciding what is or is not racist.
Yeah. But I saw that it's got a different name in other places, the same drink. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a range of different names, yeah.
Yeah. I think we better default to the Northern Germany version of Dead Aunt instead. It's much more family friendly.
Is it Torte Tante? Or Tante Torte? Torte Tante? Is it just Dead Aunt? Who knows? I'm going to go order one and see. It's hard not to notice the downturn in Germany. The economy is tight, inflation is hammering us all, and it does seem that things will be getting worse in 2025. Volkswagen are planning billions of euros in cuts, as well as drastic redundancies. ThyssenKrupp, Bosch and Continental are also facing similar threats. Shortly before the start of the fourth round of wage negotiations at Volkswagen that are being conducted at the moment, tens of thousands of VW employees went on strike for 4 hours. Thousands of employees at 9 VW plants across Germany went on strike in protest against the company's planned austerity measures. At all VW plants with EG Metall collective agreements in place, the production lines were shut down for around 4 hours, and the early shift all stopped work early. According to EG Metall, around 100,000 employees took part. The company wage agreement at VW applies to around 120,000 employees in total, and the first three rounds of negotiations have so far brought no agreement. So things are looking grim for Germany's famous car industry. Do you think this is the end for the industry?
It depends how Germany ends up getting on with China, I think. Because now that there's like stress between America and China, China is going to still want to sell its products somewhere. So Europe's a market. If Germany manages to keep that trade open, then I think they can keep the car industry open. But it is a giant backbone that's kind of holding Germany together. So it is pretty worrying that that is having problems.
Yeah, I mean, for years we've gone through this sort of celebration of how great Germany's export industry is, and how a lot of that was, as you said, the backbone of that was the car industry and exporting cars to China. So there is a lot of consternation about why it is that now these major car companies are having to lay off workers left, right and centre. And it seems to be across the board in all parts of industry. It's certainly worrying, I think, not just for the people involved. It's an indicator, if anything.
Is there a history of state help for the car industry? Probably, huh?
Yeah, in different ways. But with that in mind, politicians have been discussing how best to deal with the industrial decline, downturn, whatever you want to call it. And Robert Habeck of the Greens has already made a point of saying he advocates for direct intervention, subsidies for the establishment of new companies and the promotion of green technologies such as green steel. Olaf Scholz wants to support the industry as well with direct subsidies, and he said that a Made in Germany bonus should be created, where 10% of the purchase price will be returned by the state as a tax dividend. The FDP and the CDU are pretty well aligned because they're against the idea of intervention, so there's the other sort of division. They said, is economic policy there to provide high subsidies for a few, or is it there to create good and optimal conditions for everyone? And that was a question posed by CDU party leader Friedrich Merz at the CSU party conference in October. So, I mean, come on. Don't think anyone really expected the politicians to agree. So subsidies do seem to be one of the alternatives being floated. And there has been a history of that, certainly during the pandemic, of companies being bailed out by the state. But given the placement of the car industry, it kind of makes some kind of sense that they might inject some cash in there.
Isn't it Germany's slowness to pivot to the manufacture of electric vehicles? Mm-hmm. Isn't that one of the root causes of the problems with the industry here in Germany?
I mean, I would say that is one of the major missteps that's been made. Like, I remember teaching classes when Google was producing the Google car, and there was all that excitement about we're only months away from driverless vehicles, and Tesla were producing their technology, and there was a lot of discussion about it. And I remember there being a video that Audi put out, and they were like, oh, we've designed our first driverless car. And if you remember, the Google offering was this weird little kind of ball-shaped vehicle, tiny, it had two seats. And what Audi were offering was a full estate kind of Audi car. And there was a lot of hoopla and so a video of the head of transport driving on the Autobahn in this vehicle. And then they proceeded to open the back boot of the car, and there was like 17 servers. and it was sort of all the technology that to get the car to do what was so impressive was all jammed into the back boot, and there was no space to actually put, you know, the stuff that you usually put in your back boot. that was sort of 2014, 2015. And I remember in that moment, I was like, oh shit, Germany's really behind on just this kind of quite obvious technology. But they, it's amazing that the industry, as big as it is, has never managed to produce a successful and affordable electric car. So I think that's the misstep, because I'm sure they're capable.
The other thing, which is perhaps a little bewildering to me, is that given the way things are going, there's probably quite a high chance that the CDU will be in power come late February next year. Mm-hmm. You'd think they'd be a little bit more strategic about what they're saying, because to be criticizing, and while I agree from a theoretical point of view, it's not right to pick winners and losers economically. If you're the government, you know, there shouldn't be corporate, what do they call it, corporate socialism or whatever. They're going to have a political grenade on their hands in terms of the car industry. And I would have thought they'd be a little bit more strategic about what they're saying now, rather than just saying, oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. I'd be maybe a little bit more mindful about what they're saying, given that it may be a problem that actually they're going to be having to deal with in 2 months' time.
This is something that I've seen a couple of times mentioned online, is the difficulty that the CDU seem to have in pivoting from being kind of opposition.
Right.
No, we don't like any of your ideas, to, oh, we're the government, here's our ideas. And I think they've struggled with that. I think also the fact that Friedrich Merz is generally very unpopular as a chancellor option, although his party is more, certainly more popular than he is. And I think the fish rots from the head, right? I think there's an element of hubris that is falling on the CDU in a kind of dangerous way. I don't know Merz, I don't know him. I know what I read, and I've kind of gleaned a sense of his personality from his speeches and the way he interacts, but he doesn't seem like a man who's lacking in ego. And I think he's seeing his name up in lights at the moment, and I think he's beginning to think, oh, I've got this. I can do what I want, you know? I get that vibe off him, which would be a fatal misstep, I think, because I don't think it's going to be as clean cut. It's that thing of standing around and going, oh, well, when I win, we'll do this. What if you don't win? So, yeah. As delightfully German as all this doom and gloom might seem, there is hope on the horizon, but not from the place you might expect. Leading the rescue effort for the German car industry, arriving like a Christ-like savior atop a resplendent white Charger, it's Marcus Bloody Soda, or his party at least. The Bavarian minister president and his cabinet have made moves to promote the use of electric cars, and certainly potentially the production of electric cars, though he's more famous for moaning about wind farms, wokeism, and chairing meetings of the I Hate Robert Habeck Stupid Face Society. Markus Söder's government recently agreed a new law in Bavaria, and from April 1st, 2025, electric cars throughout Bavaria will be allowed to park for 3 hours free of charge in parking spaces that would otherwise be subject to a fee. The change will initially run for a limited time to the end of 2026. And municipalities cannot override this rule, and there will be no financial compensation for this, it was said. The initiative will only benefit pure battery electric vehicles, externally chargeable hybrid electric vehicles, and fuel cell vehicles. According to the Bayern state government, the amendment provides a new impetus for the procurement of electric cars, thus creating a steering effect in favor of climate and environmentally friendly vehicles, which will hopefully boost Bavaria's car industry. So, after years of being told that transitioning to electric vehicles was needed and ignoring that advice, we're finally seeing some changes. Do you think it's too little too late?
Oh, I'm not really the expert about cars because I don't drive. So it's strange for me. Cars have been such a huge influencing thing in German society. I spend very little time thinking about them, being in them, anything. It's almost a surprise every time I hear, oh, like this is like the backbone of the German economy. Mm. So yeah, I found them like more annoying than anything. And yeah, I guess it is pretty late, right? If you look at global warming, little nudges like this seem a little bit, yeah, token. But I don't know, maybe they already have subsidies in place to encourage people to buy electric cars in the first place. But I don't know, if I was in Bavaria and I was considering a car, I'd go, oh yeah, it's cool, it's to the end of 2026 free, but after that, then probably not, right?
But 2 years worth of free parking, that's not bad.
Is it that expensive? They've just put it up in Cologne because it was like something ridiculous. I think if you lived here, you paid something like 15 euros a year to the city for your park place outside your street. And they've put it up like by 10 euros or something. It's like absurdly cheap. But I think it must be really different in all different parts of Germany, right? I can't imagine it's like that everywhere.
I'd be interested to know if they've done like some serious modeling of the expected impact of this in terms of what it's going to do to traffic flows in the city and also on the environmental side, what impact, positive or otherwise, it's expected to have. So I don't know if any of that information was released, but to me, that would help us sort of determine whether it's just sort of kind of a knee-jerk, too little, too late kind of move, or if there's actually some serious thought and planning behind it.
The way I read the article, and it comes on the back of Söder and his cabinet having met representatives of the car industry in Bavaria, kind of imploring them not to make redundancies in the same scale as they're seeing in other industries. And I think part of that is why this initiative has come through, which maybe suggests that the due diligence hasn't quite been completed. But it does sound like good policy. It does sound like a good idea. I think it would make people think twice about getting an electric car versus a gas guzzler. And I think in that sense, it's good. And also it benefits people instead of companies. Like if you buy an electric car, you get that benefit as an individual. So, I mean, it seems like a good policy. I'm not sure, coming from where it's come from, whether it is truly.
Do you drive an electric?
No, I don't. I don't really drive that much. Mostly public transport, but we have a family car that we use. We discussed electric. This is definitely something that maybe changes our kind of equation. But if we travel into the city centre, I'd rather get public transport. And finally, to what has quickly become my favourite part of the podcast. Every Sunday, I open various news websites and make a little prayer to the gods of stupid to provide me with some weird criminality so I can report back to you both. We've been on a very good run recently, and I think this story might just get us another week of Germany's next top criminal. Kind of. So, on Friday evening, a man called the police to his home in northwest Lower Saxony after an unknown person knocked on a window of his house and then hid on the property. The man suspected a robbery, and several patrol cars immediately drove to the house and discovered a woman with a red salad bowl on her head with a walking aid in her hand. As it turned out, the potential robber was an 82-year-old acquaintance of a 51-year-old resident who wanted to surprise the man with a visit on St. Nicholas's Day. Because she didn't have a Santa hat, she put a red salad bowl on her head. The elderly woman then knocked on the window pane several times with her walking aid. Well, goddamn, folks, if that ain't the cutest bit of crime I've ever heard, can you think of anything better? Six kittens robbing a bank? A baby otter committing tax fraud? Mugging by a Shetland pony? I'm not sure if there's anything cuter than this.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
I don't think that's cute. I've read that story so many times. I hate Goldilocks. I wish the bears had eaten her. She deserved it.
Maybe you've just heard the wrong version. It's all in the telling of it.
All right. You got a different version where Goldilocks is the hero?
Yes.
Yes. No more details. Just yes. I guess you'll tell me after the podcast why she was the hero. I fear she might be the villain. Given the failure of this St. Nicholas surprise, what were the worst gift-giving moments you've ever had? Any truly epic failures?
I tried to think about the answer to this question, and all of my gifts have been so epic. I'm really sorry.
Oh, you're one of them. Oh.
They've been so good. So good.
Oh, God. You're just the perfect gift giver.
No, I'm really not the perfect gift giver. But I can't think of anything really spectacular. What a shame.
Well, I'm struggling to think of some. I've had a few clangers. Like, I did once get a Kenny G CD, and I thought, are you taking the piss? But the person clearly wasn't taking the piss, but okay. But I don't think I've given any clangers.
Oh, one time I did that. Do you know the German, the Schrottwichteln? Mm-hmm. Rubbish presents, translated directly. Mm-hmm. So you have a gathering of your friends, Simon, and everybody brings like a piece of meaningless, like kind of not trash, but that ugly ornament that you really hate and that you always wanted to get rid of.
The Kenny G CD that got given for Christmas.
Yeah. Or a Kenny G CD would be a perfect gift for Schrottwichteln. So I did that once and I got this really weird, I guess it was designed to sit on a lady's dressing table, but it was covered with like these like bears and stuff and different outfits. And it was just like really annoying. And I had to carry it home. It was like as big as my head.
What was it made out of?
It wasn't made out of pottery and it wasn't made out of porcelain. It was like something in between that felt really cheap. It was definitely mass produced in China or something. And yeah, so that would be the most hideous gift, but it was on purpose, right? Like everybody got bad stuff. That's the whole idea.
It's the Secret Santa that's meant to be the repository for all the worst gifts. Like someone turns up with like penis pasta or something like that. Like the worst gift possible come through for Secret Santa usually. You're going to get me to explain penis pasta on it.
I think I can picture it. Is it like, and you use it as Christmas decorations?
Well, it's pasta that's shaped like penises.
Hey, do you know what cascatelli is?
No, but I fear you might tell me.
Well, it's this relatively new pasta shape that was, I think that's what it's called, cascatelli, or something like that. Anyway, designed by this guy, Dan Pashman, who's a bit of a, he's a bit of a personality in the food scene in the US. And he specifically designed the pasta for certain characteristics about its ability to hold a sauce and all sorts of things like that. So I'm just wondering what these penis-shaped past, like what their ability to hold a sauce is like, because you might laugh about it because they could, but they actually might be quite good, you know?
I was trying to work out why that pasta shape in particular had come to mind, and it does have a certain reminiscence to a body part, I would say. Yeah, I don't know. I suspect the penis pasta is rather more the novelty gift that everyone hates. It's not something I'd want. I want socks. That's what I want.
How do we get from an old lady trying to surprise her sweetheart to penis pasta?
It's the miracles of the Decades From Home podcast. But I'll take it home. Don't worry. I'm going to bring it home with my admission of the worst gift I've ever given.
Here we go.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I was a student. I was very, very drunk. And one of my brothers has their birthday on the 17th of December. So coming past their home, much the worst for wear in the sort of mid-evening, I realized I'd forgotten his birthday and I ran to Tesco's and I got a packet of Mr. Kipling's mince pies, a extra large bar of dairy milk, a card, which I scrawled happy birthday into, and then I posted through his letterbox, forgetting, of course, that he lived in a flat and everyone had access to that particular present. He was not impressed. I thought it was pretty good. Mince pies for your birthday, that's a nice option, right?
Did he end up getting any of them or did the flatmates polish them off?
No, he was just irate that I'd insulted his birthday by buying such a terrible gift. I mean, I can't believe anyone would be unhappy with mince pies and a bar of chocolate for their birthday. I'd be quite happy with that.
Yeah.
I've got better, just so you know, but only marginally. That brings us to the end of the show. We're all going to put salad bowls on our heads and pretend to be Santa Claus. Ho, 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 ho. If you're enjoying the podcast, why not give us a rating on Apple Podcasts, which only takes a minute and can really help us. You can also rate us on Spotify, so chuck some stars our way there as well. Retweet us, share a link, or post with the hashtag DecadesFromHome or locate on Twitter. As ever, if you have any questions, feedback, or maybe an article or topic you'd like us to cover, you can tweet Dillion at DillinieAlgama, and you can tweet Kat at DBishdimmerin, and you can tweet me at 40% German. You can also get the podcast on Instagram at Decades From Home, where you can say hello to Kat, who is our moderator for that particular social media platform. You can also get us on decadesfromhome@gmail.com. If you have time, take a look at 40%german.com. Weekly articles are up every Saturday. All that's left to say is thanks, and bis zum nächsten Mal. Tschüss!
Tschüss!
Tschüss!